All right, so my story takes place at God Camp. So I guess I'll give you all a couple seconds of my religious background just to fill you in. I have none. I did attend a couple Catholic schools when I was a kid, but it was basically because the forgiving nature of the church means Catholic schools will take anybody, no matter what your record is, provided tuition money is available. Basically, when I was a kid, Jesus barely registered on my radar. But that said, I did spend a few years attending two-week Christian fellowship camps, non-denominational Christian fellowship camps. That means Protestant. But and the camps were in Martha's Vineyard. So one summer, right before high school, a childhood buddy of mine and I got in a bunch of dilapidated old donor vans with a bunch of other kids from North Baltimore and headed up to Woods Hole Ferry, which is the ferry you take to get across to the vineyard. We get to let me tell you a little bit about the kid I go with. He's about the most annoyingly mischievous person you would ever want to meet. And he'd probably rather remain anonymous, so we'll just call him Ryan, because that's his name. So Ryan and I head up to Martha's Vineyard, and the first night we're at camp, it's like the first night of any camp. It's a big reunion with all your old camp friends, and lots of hugs and kisses and Christian songs and all this goodness. And But there are two people at the camp that I'm very excited to see. I'm very interested in these two people. One of them was a sort of pseudo-goth kid from Philadelphia who liked to call himself Muerte. Muerte had been at a camp with me the year before, and he had claimed to be a Satanist at this Christian camp, but he was... We had a whole ceremony in front of the camp, and he was reborn. So this year, coming back, everybody was interested to see how he'd changed, and he was kind of a camp-wide celebrity. The second person that I wanted to see was a wonderful young lady named Zoe. And Zoe had been at the same camp with me the year before also, and we'd been pen pals ever since. And she was about the most beautiful, wittiest, most sincere girl on the planet. I had the biggest crush on her. But the only negative I could really find about Zoe, the only flaw in her character was she actually believed in all this God stuff. Of course, I use that to my advantage. I wouldn't sort of let her evangelize me to keep her interested. Things really started to get rolling a couple days into camp when Muerte stood up at morning meeting and made an announcement. He had had a premonition the evening before. I don't know whether it was in his sleep or just in his bunk, but he saw that there were evil spirits were going to invade this sort of sanctuary of Christian love and grace that is the study center of Martha's Vineyard. And of course, the leaders very quickly try to quell this statement because you don't want to start off a Christian fellowship camp with, like, mass religious hysteria. But... the damage was already done. People were paranoid, and you know the feeling was palpable. And Zoe, being very faithful, was paranoid herself, so I had to comfort her. That very night, people started having nightmares. And these weren't the kind of nightmares that I was familiar with, that I thought were normal kid nightmares, like, you know, vampires or being chased by government agents or... whatever, you know, these were nightmares about things like falling into an abyss or being trapped in a dark room separated from God and all this stuff that I just could not wrap my heathen head around at all. Ryan really got a kick out of this, as did I. We thought it was kind of funny. But we had different takes on it at first. Ryan tried to encourage the phenomenon. He made up a fake nightmare of his own, and he would just sort of go around telling people, like, Muerte knows, man. You know, he used to hang out with these kind of demons. We need to exorcise this place. Pronto. My take on it was that it was very funny that this was going on, but I wanted to minimize it for Zoe's sake. I thought that if she was afraid every night that she'd get snatched out of her bunk by demons, that it would just totally salt my game. Anyway, whispers of this demonic curse were sort of spreading around the mess hall and the bunks and, you know, group prayer and the smoking circle and all those things. My favorite place on the camp. It moved past the nightmares, sort of, I don't know, there weird things started happening around the camp. For one, there was almost always this ominous cloud cover and thunderstorms, and things started getting like mysteriously misplaced, and a girl from Manhattan broke her wrist playing Full Contact Duck Duck Goose. there was a chicken pox outbreak. Somebody's grandmother died and they had to leave the camp. Three of the older campers got the most dreaded of all summer camp illnesses, mononucleosis. Ryan convinces me that we really need to capitalize on this. As I'm spending my days with Zoe, full of wholesome goodness and talk about God and lots of hand-holding and, you know, all this stuff, I'm sneaking out every night with Ryan to wage this extremely blasphemous campaign of pranks on the rest of the campers and the leaders. Our pranks started out with things like leaving notes places. They were notes that said stuff like, God hates quiet time, or... the compost pile is haunted. But they quickly accelerated to stronger statements like, my God, why have you forsaken me? And Jesus doesn't live here anymore. And we're leaving these notes up in conspicuous places, and the leaders take notice and they ask us to put an end to it, whoever's doing it. So we do a lot more pranks. And they start getting more and more nefarious. We start stealing people's stuff and putting it in, like, the wrong bunk houses or just, like, hanging it up in weird places around the camp. We're sneaking out at night and turning all the crosses upside down. Ryan attempted to fake his own drowning during the swim test. Ended up almost drowning for real and covered in leeches. Another night we had a we snuck out at night and set up all the plates and everything for breakfast in the morning with a big poster that said, Last Supper Breakfast Buffet. So it's just these sort of silly things. But I don't want Zoe to find out that I'm mocking her faith, so mum's the word on all this stuff. Towards the end of camp, one night we find ourselves down by where all these donor vans are, and we're ripping all the Jesus fishes off the bumpers. And we notice that they leave the keys in the ignition so that other leaders can... So we decide to start moving all the vans. Well, now I'm like 14 and cannot drive. I still am pretty bad at it. And the result is that I let a van roll down into a ditch. And we take off back to the cabin, try to sleep. The next day, there's somewhat of a stir. So they have a camp-wide, they punish us all with a camp-wide, all-day quiet time. It's like for prayer and whatnot. And I take Ryan aside during this. I say, no more pranks. We're done. You know, this is getting out of hand. We're going to get in trouble. Zoe's going to find out. This is, you know, we're not going to be allowed to come back to camp, you know, all this stuff. So everything goes okay until, and there's no more pranks for a couple of days. And then the last night of camp, it's a tradition. We all go out to the tennis courts and, you know, lots of folk guitars and, you know, hugging and kissing and group prayer and all this stuff, you know, underneath the stars. It's really beautiful. And, of course, Zoe and I sneak off, and we're in, like, a dark corner of the tennis court, like, cuddling underneath a L.L. Bean blanket or something. very Martha's Vineyard. And so I go to bed that night about the happiest kid in New England, you know. I'm in love and all is right with the world. Nothing else can go wrong at the camp, I think. Well, later that night, I feel a smack on the side of my face, and of course it's Ryan waking me up. Ryan says, you know, meet me in the bathroom in 10 minutes. So I go into the communal boys' bathroom, and it's pitch dark in there except for inside one of the stalls, there's a flashlight, and that's where Ryan must be. And all I can hear is a sound that's very familiar to all adolescent boys, which is the sound of flesh on flesh. So I ask Ryan, what are you doing in there? Even though I totally know what he's doing in there. And his response is a little bit cryptic. It's, don't use the hand soap tomorrow, dude. So I'm faced with a moral dilemma. I'm disgusted, but I don't want to snitch on my friend, you know, and I also don't want it to come out, you know, maybe they'll ask more questions about the other pranks, and maybe it'll come out that I've been involved in them, and maybe Zoe will find out, and maybe, you know. So I do the weak thing, and I just wake up in the morning and use my travel soap and stand there in the bathroom as, like, every male counselor and camper washes their face with this tainted soap. And I'm watching it, and I'm feeling guilty and horrible, but I also, and I'm cringing, but I'm trying not to laugh, too, because I'm 14, and I think this is pretty funny. Well, it gets to the point where it's time for Muerte to wash his face. And I'm watching him, and he's, you know, getting all around his mouth and everything. And I come to a realization that perhaps Muerte had been right all along. Perhaps evil spirits had invaded the camp. And perhaps I was one of them. So later that morning, we're back at Woods Hole. We've all taken the ferry over, and everybody's saying goodbye to each other. And, of course, I'm saying goodbye to Zoe and telling her how, yeah, I'm going to write her next week and come visit her in Greenwich, Connecticut, and, oh, you know, all this stuff. But as I'm telling her this, I realize that I'm lying. We have nothing in common, this pious, wonderful young lady and I. And, you know, I don't think we ever will. She was basically too good for me, was my realization. So I say goodbye to her. And that was the last time that I ever went to a Christian camp or really ever gave any thought to that Jesus fellow at all. Thank you very much.